So I'm down really low today, so I don't know if anybody out there can see me, but I love being in your midst right down here. They took my chair away, so I get to be right down here. Come on up. Come have a seat. So what is it that's coming up just around the corner in the next few weeks for lots of kids? We're getting near the end of what? School, yeah, we're getting near the end of school. That's right, we had this, if you didn't see. Yeah, so it's getting near the end of school, and we're looking forward to the summer, right? When we get to take a break and do some fun things. Do you know what I used to do in the summer a lot? I would go to camps. Did you ever go to a camp? Have you been to camp? Who's going to a camp this year? Anybody? Oh, got a few. Okay. Well, one of my favorite camps to go to was church camp. And the church camp that I went to, because I grew up right here in the Middle Tennessee area, I went to Cedar Crest Camp, which is a Methodist church camp. And I went there quite a few times as an elementary school student and even in middle school. And you know what I loved about being there was I felt like it was so close to God and I made new friends and it was so exciting. And then guess what happened? The end of the week came and I had to go home. And I was always so sad when I had to go home. In fact, one year I remember feeling like I was just going to cry while I was at dinner after we had left camp. Because it was such a powerful time to be around friends and also to be in the presence of God. So I wondered, how could I ever experience something that great again after today? Well, you know what? In my life, I have experienced that kind of feeling time and time again in all sorts of different groups, with all sorts of different people. And you know what? If I hadn't left camp and come back home and tried some new things, I might not be here right now. I'd still be at camp. So I'm so glad that I have moved through all those different times in my life, and so many times when I have seen God, it's been a new beginning to something exciting in my life. So I hope this summer you have some fun new beginnings and you get to take a break. And I also hope you get to see God this summer in some small way, maybe in someone you know or love or something fun you get to do. So I hope you enjoy your break. All right, shall we pray together? Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the end of the school year and for a chance to get into the summer months. We know that you work among us in powerful ways at all times. And we ask that these children would know the new and exciting things you might have in store for them tomorrow and in the summer and in the many days and years ahead. We give you thanks for all the ways that we encounter your love. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You can leave now.
So we have reached a time of endings in our culture. No, it's not the end of the school year. Well, actually, it is the end of the school year. I just said that wrong. So it's actually not the end of the calendar year, which is 2018, but it is the end of the school year. And our lives seem to follow this academic calendar, this flow of life. Even if we're not in school, we're used to our schedules being designed sort of around that. So we're used to this pattern of life feeling like we come to the fall and everything gears up. And kids go to school, young people go to school, older people start to get back to work. Everybody's doing their best from fall through winter, all the way even through early spring. But then, lo and behold, what happens is we come to this time of year where the school year starts to wind down, things start to wind down, and it becomes a time of endings and also of celebrations, great celebrations, and of course, graduations even. Now, whether it's somebody that's going from preschool to kindergarten, there may be some of you in here right now doing that, or whether it's somebody at the highest levels of grad school moving on to some type of work or something else in their lives, this is a time where a lot of people are celebrating right now. In fact, I had the opportunity to go across the street just the other day to witness the graduation at Vanderbilt University's Divinity School, where some of my friends and colleagues were graduating. And it was a joyous time as they celebrated their accomplishments, as they said, yes, we're done with all that hard work. But at the same time, as I watched and as I thought about times when I've been in those places, I remember that it is also a time that is sometimes very sad. There can be an underlying bit of grief that goes along with such an ending. A time where we're leaving behind something that told us about who we were and also who we might be becoming. Also, we may be leaving behind friends and people that walked the path with us during an important time in our lives. And we may also even be leaving behind mentors, people that helped us discover what it is that we were meant to do with our lives. And so it's exciting. There's a lot of hope, but there's also some fear and trepidation and uncertainty. It's really an in-between time. It's an ending, but it's also a beginning. It's somewhere in between. And that's exactly where we find ourselves today in the Scriptures. We find these close followers of Jesus who have walked the path with Jesus and have now even gone through the crucifixion and the resurrection. And now it's come to the time where Jesus is going to leave them behind. Jesus is going to heaven, and he says, "Now it's your turn." And it's a scary time. It's an in-between time. It's an ending, but it's also a beginning. And I think it messes with our sense of time a bit. And I really like that because this whole verse, this whole section here, I think, centers around time and God's time. That something special is going on here that God is doing. And so I like that even the fact that we read this story today messes with our sense of time. Because if you are a really astute person who's been paying attention the last few weeks, if you've been here at church or if you've been studying along with a lectionary, then you know that our verses have taken us all the way past this point already. Just last week, we were all the way to Acts 10. We've been hearing about how the Spirit of God was moving through the new church, was opening doorways for new people to participate, people that might have felt completely excluded from the work that God was doing. And these first followers of Christ were out in the world spreading the gospel already. So you kind of might find yourself wondering, why now do we go backwards? Why all of a sudden do we have this whiplash that takes us all the way back to Acts 1, to the ascension? Well, I love that that happens for a few reasons, even though it's a little strange. I'm going to explain why in a minute. But first, I want to explain to you why it even happens. Because if you heard in this story, in this telling by the author of Acts, the disciples, after the resurrection of Jesus, they spend 40 days being schooled, basically, by Jesus. They are learning about and witnessing and hearing about what this kingdom thing is going to be about, what it means for the love of God to reach out and start to make its way throughout the world. And so the early church, as it started to figure out, how do we sort of celebrate the flow of God's salvation history in our presence, in our worship? How do we do that together? One of the things they decided was, we're going to say after Easter, there's going to be a whole 40 days that we remember this time. A whole 40 days until what we call Ascension Day, which is actually on Thursday. So Ascension Day was last Thursday. Did anybody throw a really good Ascension Day party on Thursday? Yeah? Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you had no clue that that was Ascension Day. But some churches really do celebrate on that Thursday. In our tradition, if we're going to talk about the Ascension, we typically save it for this seventh Sunday in Easter. But so what's happened is we've commemorated the 40 days up to that Thursday, and then 10 days later, we get to next Sunday, which is when the Spirit shows up at Pentecost, and we get the birthday of the church, the real party. So maybe we really will have a party here next week. But right now, we're in this strange in-between time, and we've been yanked back to it out of what we've been hearing about later on in the book of Acts. So it's kind of weird to move back here right now, but I love it. I love it for three reasons. The first thing is the fact that we've already heard about the Spirit at work and we kind of know what's going to be happening in the church. It's something the apostles couldn't have imagined, but we kind of already have a sense of it. And the fact that we go backwards to hear about it then, and then we hear about the ascension now, reminds us that the Spirit was at work before all of this that we're hearing about now started. In fact, from the beginning of creation, when God's Spirit swept over the dark waters, God's Spirit has been at work creating and sustaining, keeping things alive and moving forward. And so I like this idea that the Spirit moves backwards and forwards, as in the past and in the future, because that's what the Scriptures tell us. And we need to understand that that means the Spirit is still alive and well among us today. The second thing I really like about jumping backwards, that I like about this whiplash in the liturgical year, is the fact that I think that if we didn't do it, we wouldn't get to hear about what the Spirit was up to and what these disciples were learning about from Jesus. Because really, we don't get much text about what happens after the resurrection and while these first followers of Jesus are spending time with him. We really only get these little snippets, like in the first part of Acts. So I suppose preachers, even really good ones like Pastor Carroll, could try to preach off just the first little bit of Acts for a whole 7 weeks, but I think you'd get pretty tired of that. So it's wonderful that we go ahead and we start to hear about what it is the Spirit can do and will be doing in the church. But my favorite thing about the fact that we jump backwards and that we mess with the time a bit is that I think it helps us remember something about the very nature of the kingdom of God and the way that we experience God's movement among us and in our lives. Because it brings us back to this question that the apostles asked Jesus that's very much centered on time. They say, is now the time for the restoration of the kingdom of Israel? It's important to remember that embedded in that question would have been some understanding of the fact that if God's really doing this in God's time, if this is really the time we've been waiting for, that this is going to start to draw all sorts of people all over the world into the kingdom of God. And it's interesting to think about that. It's interesting to think about them asking that question because, really, they would have been somewhat disappointed already multiple times. If you really think about it, they were walking this journey with Jesus, and then Jesus died, and they thought it was over. Then Jesus is resurrected, comes back, and they think, aha, now this is really the time. They have spent 40 days with Jesus learning about the kingdom. Imagine, that's like if you went on a continuing education trip for your job on Easter Sunday and just came back last Thursday. That's how long they were learning about the kingdom of God, according to this text. And so now they're like, finally, is this the time? And so surely Jesus is going to say, yes, it's here. The kingdom's been fulfilled. But instead Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times and the exact ways that God is working, but it is for you to wait here and believe in the promise that the gift of the Spirit is going to be with you, that God is going to do something new among you, and that the Spirit of God is going to work in new and powerful ways to break down boundaries, to welcome all sorts of people into this loving ministry of God. And you know, I think that question really speaks to how we feel sometimes. Because sometimes, I think in our own lives, maybe more often than we'd like to admit, we really feel like screaming out, Jesus, is this the time? Is it finally time for the kingdom to fully be here? For things to be set right with God? And then we sit time and time again in moments where it feels like we can't even get our act together, even close to being like the people of God. Times when people, we find it hard to even uphold the dignity of people's basic personhood, regardless of who they are, according to their gender or their background or their marital status, or any number of things we can think of that we use to divide people. And we say, gosh, not only does the world have trouble with that, but even the church has trouble with that. If the church can't get its act together, how in the world can we believe the kingdom is anywhere near to being here? But we live in an in-between time, a time of an ending, but also a time of great possibility. It's not just an ending that's a beginning, but it's an ending that's a beginning to the ends of the earth. And that is the life that we are being called into, and that the first apostles were called into, to believe that the Spirit was in their midst, to believe that things could happen that were unimaginable, to believe that God was still present and was transforming the world in new and powerful ways. Now today, as I sit here, or I'm not sitting, I'm really standing, but as I'm here before you, I stand under this window where an image of Christ is looking down at me, and I imagine this time of the ascension, right? This thing that we heard about, Jesus going up to heaven. And if you really look at this window, this kind of always has looked like the ascension to me. Jesus is kind of in the middle there, suspended. And I think about this wonderful part in the story where, as the disciples are looking up and watching Jesus go away, that these two people in white show up and they ask the disciples, why? Why do you look up in the sky for Jesus? Jesus will return, this God will return in the same way that he has gone. Now, I'll let you think about and figure out the mechanics of how that all works. But as I think about and look at this image and think about the clouds covering Jesus and him ascending, I look at this particular image, and just this week I thought, you know, it kind of looks like, I know this thing he's doing with his hand is actually a symbol, and I'm not going to get into the symbology today. But for today, I'd like for you to imagine that it's Jesus pointing back down to earth, helping us turn our gaze back down a bit and saying, yes, it is good to understand that the power of God is what's going to change the world. But you've also got to live in the faith that the Spirit is among you and it's about to move in new and powerful ways. And God is calling you into kingdom living and kingdom vision. And sometimes that word kingdom gives us trouble because we think of it as being top down. But this is a power that spreads out among everyone. This is a power that knows no bounds and does amazing things and works in amazing ways. And that is what God is calling us to. That is what Jesus calls us to. It's what the Spirit calls us to believe that the Spirit is welcoming us to a time that is an ending, that is a beginning, and to the ends of the earth. May it be so. Amen.